Oh, well, it is always good to be privileged to preach the word tonight, and I'm excited, one, because I think I get to use the clicker. I always get a new toy each and every time I preach, so this is going to be fun. I get to use the clicker tonight, and so the passage that we're going to be at is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we're going to be at tonight. As I said, I am excited to preach the word with you tonight, and even more so, this passage, this topic that I'm going to be preaching on, I am overly excited about. And so, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're looking at verses 1 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 20. And I want to read first. The Bible tells us in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 at once, for whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me," this is Paul, "also, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not to meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. If Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep." I was reminded of a quote a few days ago. Showed up on my Facebook as a memory, but it was a quote that I shared before from one of my favorite books. And the quote went, "When doubts crowd in and you are surrounded by clouds of darkness, go back to what you know about Jesus." Go back to what you know about Jesus. And so you see the title of the message, it says, "Why the Resurrection of Jesus Christ Matters." And you say, how did you come to this title? How did you come to talking about this topic tonight? Well, this all came about with a discussion at work, a friendly discussion that I was having with a friend. And so we were talking about Christianity. We were talking about religious things. And of course, he is not a Christian, but he has been so fooled. He has been so fooled and lied to by the world and by facts. And as we were having this discussion, he asked me a question. He said, "Name one fact about Christianity that is true." And with all the facts that he gave me, with everything that was being thrown at me, he asked me, "Name one fact about Christianity that is true." And I believe it was the Holy Spirit that brought it to mind. But I said two words, simply the resurrection. The resurrection. And again, he asked me twice more, name one fact about Christianity that's true. And both times, I went back to the resurrection. And even after the day was over, even that after that discussion was over, I kept thinking about why it was that I went back to this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, being the one fact that I told him that was true about Christianity. And when Pastor asked me to preach, again, it wouldn't leave my mind. And I said, this matters that we know this. Why does the resurrection of Jesus Christ matter? And even so, as you look at your notes, there is a lot of writing, a lot of information. But because the resurrection matters, you have people who have studied this out in the scriptures, who have studied this out based on fact. And I shared with you a couple of people's facts that they have found. The first one, of course, you know him as Lee Strobel, someone who was an investigative journalist, who was also an atheist, who he himself said as an atheist, even as an atheist, I understood one thing about Christianity. It rises or falls on the resurrection of Jesus. And so in his life, Lee Strobel took a journey where he decided, if I can prove that the resurrection was false, if I could prove that the resurrection didn't happen, then Christianity will crumble. Christianity would fall. I can prove that Christianity does not exist if I could prove that the resurrection did not happen. And so long story short, he takes this journey, and now Lee Strobel went from being an atheist, someone who was against the faith, to a Christian, to someone who defends the faith and who defends the resurrection. And he gives us four compelling reasons to believe the resurrection. And he loves alliteration, and so do I. And so he made this very easy because he alliterated all of these with ease. The first compelling reason that he gives is that of the execution. That of the execution of Jesus Christ. If you look through history, you can see that there is no historian, no scholar, no unbeliever, no believer even, who would dispute the fact that Jesus was an historical figure who died at the hands of the Romans. It is true that Jesus did in fact exist and that he really died. But that's not the only one he talks about early. He is talking about the reports of Jesus that came out, the accounts that came out after he resurrected. The topics that he was alive. This was weeks after his death on the cross. What was even more striking is the next E, and that is empty. And there is no arguing this fact. The tomb of Jesus Christ was empty on the third day. And even his enemies admitted that the tomb was empty. And of course, to have a resurrection, there must be an empty tomb. But also, you have eyewitnesses. That's the last E. Even so, I had mentioned that Lee Strobel was an investigative journalist who investigated crimes that have happened. And he said, with a crime, it would be, if you have one or two credible witnesses, then that's enough. But here, as you study the Gospels, as you study the accounts of the resurrection, there are over 500 accounts, 500 accounts of people who have said, eyewitness accounts, the fact that Jesus lives, thus proven he is who he said that he was and that he backed up his claims. So, execution, early, empty, eyewitnesses. I don't know how to use that. There we go. But also, next is Frank Turek. Frank Turek was a man who was a Roman Catholic who met a son of a preacher when he joined the Navy. Had some questions about faith that he couldn't answer. He became a Christian. He became an apologetic. And now he has, of course, a whole program, a YouTube channel, a podcast, where his goal is to answer questions for the atheist and for the skeptic. He loves talking to them. And Frank Turek gives 6 reasons for the resurrection. He mentions the early testimony, which some of these correspond with Lee Strobel and what his reasons are. But he talks about early testimony, the New Testament documents which came out less than 40 years after the resurrection of Christ. We talk about eyewitness testimony. He mentions that there are 140 details just in the book of Acts and the Apostle and the Gospel of John that only an eyewitness would know. And then one thing that he points out here that's different from Lee Strobel is embarrassing details. And what do I mean by embarrassing details? People naturally don't like to mention embarrassing details about themselves in their stories or in their testimonies. For example, in the gospel accounts, if this resurrection story was fabricated, if it was made up, then it would say that the men were the ones who were the brave ones while the women were hiding in fear. They went to the tomb. They fought off the soldier, they fought off the elite Roman guards who were there. They moved the rock. They got the body of Jesus. They say that he resurrected, and they went back and they comforted the trembling women. But that's not what the gospel says. These are embarrassing details, but then also excruciating details mentioning, in fact, of the crucifixion, even of itself. But then there's also expected testimony. And this is talking about Old Testament prophecy. Old Testament prophecy that were written about the coming of a Messiah. Documents and scrolls written years in advance of the coming Messiah. But then here's my favorite one. Extra biblical testimony. We have the Bible. We have the eyewitnesses. But even more so, the extra biblical testimony is over 100 ancient non-Christian sources within 150 years of Jesus' life that mention Jesus and the apostles very briefly. And they tell the exact same story that the New Testament documents tell. Even so, you have the minimum facts argument. Jesus died by crucifixion. That's the first minimum fact you have to know. But then you also think about the experience of the early disciples, the one who saw his body after he resurrected from the dead. And so their lives were transformed. And we're not just talking about the original disciples. We are talking about James, the brother of Jesus. We are talking about Paul as well. And then also the spread of the gospel message in and of itself, because they saw that because Jesus died by crucifixion, because they saw Jesus, the resurrected Christ, their lives transformed, and they spread that gospel message even to the point of them dying. And so you said, Brandon, that is a lot of information that you gave. What in the world am I going to do with that? What does all this mean? What are you trying to show me with this? Well, here it is. Christianity is not just based upon blind faith, but a historical fact. It is not wishful thinking. It is not a leap into the dark. It is not across my fingers. It is not a I hope so. It is a I know so. But also, Christianity is not a fabricated religion. It is not fabricated. It is not made up. It is not make believe. And why is that? Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes this claim all the more true. We do not worship a dead Savior. We do not serve a Savior who is still in the grave. He is very much alive and well. So you ask again, so why does the resurrection of Jesus Christ matter? Why does it matter in our defense of the faith and our walks with the Lord? Why does the resurrection of Jesus Christ matter? One, again, I love alliteration, so all of these are going to start with C. It is the core, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is the core of the Christian faith, as we have seen it in 1 Corinthians. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith would have no foundation. And Paul explains this very well. Had it not been for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith would be in vain. This is what he said. Our faith would be in vain. We would still be dead in our sins. And even those who died before us with the hope of believing in Jesus Christ, they are still lost in their sins. And even so, we today, people would look at us and would pity us and would see us as most miserable. And this is without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the core of our Christian faith. But even more so, it is not just the core of our Christian faith, it is the capstone of the Great Commission. It is the capstone of the Great Commission. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are several ways that history could have been written. For example, could have been simply as to the fact Jesus was born, he lived, and he died. It could have been Jesus was born, lived, was a great spiritual teacher, and died. It could have been that Jesus was born and lived and taught many great spiritual truths, performed many miracles, and he died. It could have been that Jesus was born, lived, and made many claims, and he died. It could have been that Jesus was born, he was raised by two loving parents, he gained a following, was arrested, he was tried, crucified, and he died. If you heard these, you heard a commonality. All of these end with Jesus dying and staying dead. However, this is not how the story goes. This is not how the story goes. Jesus was born and he was raised by two loving parents. Early on, he started taking in the law. When he was older, when he turned 30 years old, he would start his public ministry. He would call four fishermen to follow him. He taught great many spiritual truths. He healed many people. He performed miracles. He performed resurrections. He was betrayed. He was arrested. He was tried. He was crucified. He died as he said that he would. But he also said that he would raise from the dead. And he did. And the reason why the disciples and the apostles, those that he called, were able to go forward and preach the good news was because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Had not Jesus Christ raised from the dead, as he said, there would be no Christ to present a great commission. Without the resurrection of Christ, simply put, our preaching would be meaningless. The gospel would be powerless, and our witness would be ineffective. So why does the resurrection matter? It is not just the core of the Christian faith. It is not just the capstone of the Great Commission, but it's also the catalyst for the changed man or woman of God. I love verses 5 through 10 because those are accounts and histories. You have names of people who had been changed. You think about the 12 disciples in verse 5 where it was mentioned. You think about Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon. And then verse 6, over 500 followers who saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus Christ. You think about James, the brother of Jesus, and all the apostles mentioned in verse 7. And most of all, you think of Paul in verses 8 through 12 as it is mentioned. Him who saw Jesus Christ resurrected. Even so, you think about the women who were the first ones to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, Johanna, Salome, and several other women who I will say, by the way, they were the first human evangelists of the resurrected Christ. They went and told, he is risen. Each of these went from being persecutors, skeptics and cowards into prominent leaders and missionaries of the early church. And you ask yourself, what was the catalyst? What was it that spurred this change that they would be willing to not only change their life, but to also give their life for this message, for this gospel? And it was the fact that Jesus was risen. It was the catalyst for each and every one of these men and women. And so because the resurrection matters, what does that mean for you and me? What does that mean for you and me? Three quick points and then we'll be done. First of all, we have a solid foundation by which we can stand on. Not just one that we can stand on, but the fact that we are able to defend the faith. Again, we do not serve a dead Savior. He is not in the grave. The tomb is still empty. And so therefore, we have a solid foundation that we can stand upon. And because of that, there is a power in our preaching and proclaiming. As we have been handed the Great Commission, we can go forward and make disciples because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and has promised eternal life to all who believe in him. There is a power in our preaching. There is a power in proclaiming the gospel. But even more so, as we study the book of Revelation, we see that there is hope beyond the grave. And I want to end by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have everything we need to live victorious because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Our faith is not in vain. Our preaching is not in vain. Our proclaiming is not in vain. What we are doing for the Lord is not in vain. And even so, because he rose from the dead, because he backed up his claims, because he kept his word, we can trust that he will keep his word when he comes back for us. And he takes us home. There is hope beyond the grave. So why does the resurrection of Jesus Christ matter? Because we have a solid foundation by which we can stand upon. There is a power in our preaching and proclaiming, but more than that, there is a hope beyond the grave. So the shot in the arm I can give you tonight is to know that your labor is not in vain. Everything that you're doing for the Lord, you're preaching, you're proclaiming, you're serving, it means something. It is powerful. And there is hope beyond the grave. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are risen, that the tomb is empty. And that, Father, we have a solid foundation by which we can stand upon. And so, Father,